Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. The sun is shining. It is spring. We've sprung. I'm two shots in. I'm a couple of crab cakes in at Costas and Fadley's as we begin our crab cake tour. And it's Preakness week here. Bob Baffert under fire. I have been chatting with many of our friends in the horse racing industry. You can find it all at Baltimore Positive in our audio vault. Obviously, our social media has been alive. Obviously, Bob Baffert did the show last week. And since Bob Baffert has done the show, Bob Baffert has been the news. Donna Brothers does all things, including that awesome job when the weather's really good. Not such a great job when the weather's not good, because I've seen that act before. We welcome her back to Baltimore and another Preakness. Nothing going on in the horse industry this week. No news at all, right?
Well, yeah, the news has definitely changed, hasn't it, Nestor? So, yeah, just 3 days ago, the story was that the Kentucky Derby winner is coming back to the Preakness Stakes, and we've got a Triple Crown on the line. And now we have a Kentucky Derby winner on the line, so it's definitely changed significantly, and it seems to change by the minute, especially over the last couple of days. I think it's kind of stabilized now, at least for a little while. But yeah, it's been a little crazy.
Yeah, most of the horse racing people I know are horse racing people, you know, whether, and Dick Girardi is college, and I had Kenny Mayne on talking about his departure to ESPN, done other things this week, but you're like a real horse racing person, Marty McGee, people that are really just into this and are known for it. And betamethasone, I just learned how to say that since yesterday morning. Tell me how much this drug is discussed ever. I mean, from most people that I talk to like you, it's a little bit of an Advil for a horse, anti-inflammatory. But I'm trying to educate people that just see PEDs. And we come from the world of baseball when the foreheads grew and all that. So, you know, cheating is cheating as a rule. But I'm trying to get to the ethics and spirit and I guess the science of all of this, right?
Yeah, I think the best comparison to betamethasone to a drug, a human drug that we're all pretty well aware of, is Benadryl, because Benadryl is a drug that you can take orally or you can use it topically. So if you've got an irritating skin rash on your arm, you know, you can rub some Benadryl cream into that. And it's a it's an anti-inflammatory steroidal medication that helps with the aggravation of the rash. And that's exactly what the Automax is that had betamethasone in it. Did to relieve the irritation that was on Medina Spirit's skin. At least that's purportedly how it was used, why it was used. And I would say that would be the best human comparison. So if you had a little outbreak on your skin and you started using a Benadryl cream on there, you wouldn't all of a sudden think like, I'm going to be able to run faster, right? Or I'm going to be able to hold my poses in yoga longer. Like it doesn't have a performance enhancing ability, but all the same, there are no steroids and no anti-inflammatories that are allowed in horse racing. And so even in trace amounts, it's just not permissible. It doesn't matter that it wasn't used as a performance enhancer and that it's not a performance enhancer.
This is about protecting the animals, right? I mean, at heart, this is about, we're not going to let you run hurt. And that's the spirit of this, correct?
Well, betamethasone in particular can be used in a number of different ways also. So it can be used as an injectable into a joint. It can also be used orally where it would be given in doses to, in fact, I have a friend who has Crohn's disease, and he was prescribed betamethasone orally to help settle down the inflammation in his stomach many years ago. So it's used in a number of different ways, but the rule is there to keep trainers from using it as an injectable into a joint right before a race, where it would sort of it would relieve the inflammation, it would relieve the pain, but would it fix the problem? No, right?
Well, so, I mean, I had a flap in my leg in 2006. They gave me a cortisone shot. I felt like I could run a derby, right? 4 months later, I had to get cut on because it didn't.
Right, but it didn't fix the problem, right? Yeah. It alleviated the pain, but it didn't fix the problem.
But I could have run a race the next day. I could have run a 5K. No problem. I could have gone out and run a couple miles where the day before I was limping, you know?
Right. Like, but again, let's get back to the fact that this was not used in that way.
Of course not. But to the public perception, how far does it go when you've been popped 30 times? And, you know, I talked to Marty McGee. He's like, my brother's a trainer in the next stall. He's never, most trainers, if they one time, if anything happened that they got called in front of the court, you know, that it would be a big deal to them, their family, their reputation. And then there's Bob, right? I mean, Bob's
I think he's
star,
guilty
right?
of being careless, though, Nestor. I don't think that anything nefarious happened here. And I'm not defending him because I was as aggravated as the next person by it. It's a black eye on horse racing. It's a black eye for the Kentucky Derby. It's a shame that this Kentucky Derby winner is probably going to be taken down for a drug that didn't help his performance in any way. But betamethasone isn't allowed. And it was carelessly... I feel like it was a careless mistake. If you get a bottle, you can go to 1-800-PET-MEDS. You can Google it and Google AutoMax, this particular ointment. And on the label itself, it says contains betamethasone. And so it was definitely an oversight. It was definitely carelessness. But I don't think it was nefarious behavior. But yeah, somebody who's had 30 positives in you know, over the past 30 years and 5 in the last year alone, definitely needs to look at the way they're running their operation and make some changes.
So what does this mean for the industry? You know, I guess big picture, that's the big question here, that this is such an outlier all the way around, except that it's not an outlier, that it's Baffert, right? And he will come under scrutiny. I've done a lot this week talking about cheaters and getting away with it and Astros beating on trash cans and they still get to keep championships and, you know, taking down college teams and saying they didn't win a championship after the parade happened. All these baseball players that shot up 30 years ago got to keep all their money, right? Baffert's not getting thrown out of horse racing, right? I mean, and this horse is not to be rude, but disposable. There'll be another horse next year. What does this mean in the big picture for what horse racing as an industry would do? Because there's laws being put in place now and talking about sanctioning bodies and the government being not that, you know, we have the government involved in a lot, but oversight of horse racing, how would that really help?
Well, I think in the big picture, it actually says a lot of good things about horse racing. I mean, again, it is without question a black eye for horse racing, but one of the reasons why this was picked up as a positive is because our testing has gotten so refined that it measures in as small as a picogram, which is a trillionth of a gram. If you had 21 picograms in your hand, you wouldn't be able to see it. It's so small. And so the fact that our testing has gotten so sensitized and so refined that we test at that level says some really good things about the industry, and that we're expecting more, demanding more, and more is going to have to come. Trainers are going to have to come and meet certainly the qualifications. Baffert, again, is the only guy, as you mentioned, who keeps getting popped for these things. And it's because, again, I believe carelessness. I don't think nefariousness. I think, you know, in Baffert's mind, he's like, well, I'm doing everything the way I've always done it. I don't understand why this is happening. But the sensitivity of the drug testing has increased at least tenfold, if not a hundredfold. And so you've got to change the way you do your daily operations. And he hasn't done that.
Donna Brothers is here. She's at NBC. She will be on a horse, of course, on the backside of the race course out of Pimlico and Old Hilltop this weekend with the winner before and after. Full NBC coverage. I appreciate everybody on the NBC team. And it's funny, all of you personally come on. It's not some ensemble. People just hear, they're like, oh, Ness must be in with Dan or somebody booking her. And you all are so kind to me. But this racing comes here once a year. In Louisville, it's year-round. Here we have baseball and crab cakes and Ravens and lacrosse and the chess. We have all these other things that sort of – it comes in and it goes. But you come in and see the track. Every year we talk about the future and where racing is going, where the series is going, and Laurel versus Pimlico and the Maryland Jockey Club, and can we keep and sustain this thing? It's been a really weird couple of years all the way around, right? I mean, inquiries a couple of years ago, last year COVID, just trying to get this thing on some sort of normal – footing where we can go back to having Preakness events and crab races at Lexington Market and rebuilding the civic part of what Baltimore should be like. You come out of Kentucky where they sort of did it last week, right? And last year they didn't. And it was a really big deal that it didn't happen last year. So for that community and this community, give me a little look at Louisville last week. Baffert told me that the horses aren't used to people. Just in general, people don't go to the track the last year. Horses were really spooked last weekend in Louisville.
Well, the people weren't allowed at the track for the last year, right? So they would like to have come. I would hope that they would like to have come. They weren't allowed to come. But yeah, exactly. You know, there were greater crowds than these horses have ever seen in their lifetime. Because keep in mind, these are three-year-olds, right? So when we run the Pimlico Special and you have horses that are three and up, these 6 years old and 7 year old horses in the Pimlico Special have seen crowds before. But for these 3 year olds, they started racing last year during COVID. And so they didn't see any crowds at all. And now the crowds have picked up as they've gone along. And some of them will handle it better than others. Others will handle it, certainly. But yeah, it's been a really strange year for everybody. It is good to see things getting back on track. I think the final attendance for Derby this year was something around 51,288. So about a third of what we would normally see there, a little less than a third. But I think Baltimore's rules are maybe a little bit stricter than Kentucky's, because at least in Kentucky, the restaurants are at about 70% capacity. And it's my understanding so far that the hotel restaurant that where the hotel that we stay at is not open. It's not even open for room delivery. Some of the
Bring your crab cake, Don. It's okay.
Nestor, I'm going to have to find out where to get the crab cakes from you, because my hotel actually had really good crab cakes, but that's not an option. So yeah, it'll be a little different, but it'll be good for me to get back to Baltimore. I missed the Preakness last year for the first time in 20 years because of COVID. And so I'm excited to get back myself.
Well, just getting back on normal tour. Give me a little look at the race, at the horses that are in the race, because this is the race where they come to beat the Derby winner. Baffert's got two horses, the Asmussen horse. I mean, this is always a good race, right? This is almost from a technical standpoint, for the way you would view it, not so many horses in traffic and who's going to get pinched. This is more a stakes race, you know, and always a smaller field.
I mean, I think it's going to be a really good race all the same. You know, do I think Medina Spirit will run back the kind of race he ran in the Derby? No. And it has nothing to do with the fact that he's probably not going to get that Auto Max on his Derma condition, whatever that is. I just don't think that he's a standout among this field. And his numbers improved drastically in his last race. So I'm looking at the past performances right here. I mean, he's a horse who had been consistently running in the mid 90s as buyer figures. And then in the Derby, he jumped up to a 102. And so at least for me, when I see a horse have a big number, you want to see them have at least 5 weeks before their next race. So now he's going to come back in 2 weeks and try to at least run the kind of race that he ran in the Kentucky Derby. And I just don't think we're going to see that from him. And you mentioned Baffert's got the other horse in there who didn't quite make it to the Derby off of his poor performance in the Arkansas Derby with Concert Tour. He's going to be the second choice in there. But I'm looking at the Asmussen horse, Midnight Bourbon. I really like his progression coming into the race. He's just steadily gotten a little better, a little better, a little better. He had a regression in the Derby. He went from running 296 buyers in a row to running a 90. Now the buyers numbers, by the way, I don't want to talk too much inside baseball, but they're just a way for horse players to compare apples to oranges, because you've got horses who are coming in from all over the United States, running over different surfaces, racing with different company. And so these buyer numbers just sort of give us a line on what kind of performance that was. So he had a regression in the Derby back to a 90. And the fact that Asmussen, after the race, you know, he took a wait and see approach. And then a couple of days later said, we're gone. This horse is a high energy colt. He's by Tiz now. His sire was a high energy horse who won the Breeders' Cup Classic twice. And if he came out of the race in such good order that Asmussen said we're going to the Preakness Stakes with him, that says a lot for me. And I think that we're going to see him go forward from the numbers that he'd been putting up.
Don, it's always good to visit with you. I will say to you the same thing I said to Randy earlier. You know, my wife and I on Derby Day, we're walking the city. It was beautiful. We dressed up. I shaved up nice. Did my hair up. I have hair, and that's pandemic hair. I'm bringing my rock star back. So walking the city, and it was about 4:30. Most of me, home watch the race. And I'm like, I think we got time. And I, because they used to run the race at 4:30, then 5, then 5:30. I'm like, 6:55, we got plenty of time. We got home an hour and a half early. We sat, we watched it. And I'm sitting there, and then I'm still got my jacket on. And I'm like, we're going to the Derby. We're going back to the, you know, I watch you guys. You made me want to go again. Oh. I haven't been in, you know, probably well over a decade, probably 08, 09. The last time I was there was when the storm blew in and annihilated everything right as the race went off. So you told me.
That was Bob Costas's first year. In fact, I remember that because we were an hour to air and we lost everything. The only person who had any power because he was hardwired was Bob Costas. And it was his first show. And the producer was David Michaels, Al Michaels' brother. And he had already promised Bob, like, look, I know this isn't your sport, that you're an expert in everything, not necessarily horse racing, but you're not going to get thrown to the wolves at any point. And then we're 30 minutes now to air, and the only person who has any power is Bob Costas's set. So it was a countdown on whether or not Bob was going to have to do this show himself. And luckily, we got up and rolling just in time. That was Sporty Jones's year, 2004.
2004. Okay. So I ran a bus to Belmont that year. All of the Triple Crown winners, I ran buses in that era. It was like almost every year, right? Big Brown, it was all that, right? But that Smarty Jones year, my wife and I just got married. I do remember it was 04. It hasn't been that long since I've been to the Derby, has it? Has it been 17 years? I mean, it'd be crazy. Oh my God. Now I'm embarrassed that you start giving me the math on it. But my wife and I were there that day and we saw the storm rolling through, seventh, eighth race. And we didn't have a car, as I remember. We were like, taxiing or whatever. Everybody's dressed up. And I said to her, I said, we have to leave. Like, I do not want to be here after the storm with 150,000 people. We rolled out. We got back to our hotel, watched the storm roll in, and we watched it on TV. And we just decided we had made a really good decision leaving early that year.
Really? You definitely made a good decision. It got
Well, I've been pounded at the Preakness before too. There's been enough Preaknesses here where the storm rolls in. I wish you good weather. I wish you a true winner. I wish you no inquiries and a crying happy jockey and connections. How about that?
Real quick, I have to throw in the year that Funny Side won the Derby and then came back in the Preakness. I was there and never made the air because of your guys' weather in Baltimore, because my microphone or IFB never worked because of weather conditions. So yeah, we've had it there too.
I think a lot of people didn't even see the horses that day from wherever they were on the track. Donna, always a pleasure. No tourist crab cake for you. You get, you call me, we get you to Costas, to Fadley's. I'm starting a crab cake tour. I'm doing 30 crab cakes in 30 days in August for my 30th anniversary, all in Maryland touring the state. So crab cakes are going to be what we do around here. All right.
Love it.
Enjoy the travels. Donna Brothers joining us here from NBC Sports. You'll see her on the back stretch, and you'll see her before, during, and after the race on NBC, where they're always great to us, bringing the staff together here this year. Don Moeller will be joining me for some Baltimore Positive conversations. We have talked to Bob Baffert and Marty McGee, and we talked to Dick Girardi. We talked to Kenny Mayne. We talked to Randy Moss. So we're going through the racing roster as the biggest race of the year is here. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore Positive.